Blog Talk Radio.
All right. It's good to be here. Come on in. Welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Hopefully everything is going well in your world. Be praying for me as I am praying for you all. Hopefully you all can hear me pretty good. It just seems like it sounds so distant in my mic, but hopefully everything is good. Family, it's good to be back on the earth. It's a blessing to be in the land of the living, given the time that we're in. Continue to pray for me as I am praying for you, and definitely continue to pray for the world. Amen. Pray for the women of the world. It seems that the devil is mad at Eve for some reason, because there is such an attack on women in the world today. Every time you look up, some tragedy is happening. And I don't know if it's just me. I was talking to a family member the other day, and I was saying, I don't know if it's because of social media, because we can see and hear so much now, or if it has always been this way, and we just didn't have the access or access to the information to hear all the things, that is going on in the world like we do now. But it seems to me that the devil is really attacking women in this world. So be praying. Amen. Hopefully the watchman on the wall, Elder Bazaar, will be on. I spoke to him earlier. He did say he would be on, but if not, we do understand. We know that we all have a lot of things going on. I know I've been busy for the past couple of months. Also, you know, my adventures through Texas in the past couple of months, so it's why I hadn't been on, but I'm back home. It's good to be here. It's a blessing to be on the air. Amen. So let's go ahead and get started. We're just going to do a freestyle today. Amen. The word, don't know really what I'm going to talk about, but you know how the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is good to reveal something to me. Amen. I can tell you right now, one thing that's been kind of heavy on my heart is some of the things that this, again, that's been taking place in this world with our women and children. Amen. I'll tell you right now, we have to be prayerful. I would start to say protective, but you know what? We can only do so much when it comes to protection, because the reason I say that is because we can only be so many places at one time. We are not God. We're not omnipresent. We're not omniscient. You know, we're not all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful. We're not omnipotent. Again, nor are we omnipresent. We're not everywhere at all time, but we know that is why we rely on the Holy Spirit and God. That's why when I'm not around my family, amen, if my family's out of town traveling, amen. That's why I pray for them, because I'm not there to protect my wife and children. So I pray for them. I send a prayer to heaven, amen, to the most high, powerful God, through the Holy Spirit, to lead, guide, and protect them, because I'm not able to, amen, even when I'm able to, even if I'm around, I mean, again, we have to remember that we're limited. We're very limited in what we can do as human beings, because we have so many people. They have this notion, they have this thought, amen, that they're able to do all things or so many things because they possess weapons and guns and certain type of knowledge. But it's important to understand and know that we can only do so much, amen. We are mere men, amen. So, but that's why we have connection to God, connection to a Heavenly Father. Because why? We have that connection, amen. We have that relationship, okay? And because we do have that relationship and that connection to God, he's able to protect us and keep us from what? All hurt, harm, and danger. That's why we pray that God keeps us from all hurt, harm, and danger, because we don't know what's lurking. Harm doesn't necessarily have to come from the outside. Harm can come from the inside, amen. We know that the devil attacks us in many different ways. You know, you can be something wrong. You can be sick internally. We know this virus that was, I know this virus that we've been dealing with for the past couple of years, we know that that people have not been, we just have not been able to escape, it totally, because we've seen that people have lost their lives, people have gotten sick. And sometimes your enemy is not visible. Sometimes your enemy is invisible. And so, amen, we have to be prayerful that God keeps us. Our bodies are very susceptible to diseases and things. I know that we've heard instances where people have passed away due to the coronavirus, but then we hear some scientists and doctors say this is nothing but a simple cold. It's just a different type of form of cold. Well, in the past, even when I was a child, we've heard many times how people pass away from common colds or what do you call flu, different types of flus. People would just pass away. So I said that to say this, that we have to be very prayed up. We have to be prayerful to about one another because, again, as tough as it may seem that we are, as human beings, sometimes we're not as tough as we think because, again, if something like a common cold can take you out of this world, but then you have people who catch pneumonia, people get other diseases or germs or sicknesses, and they pull through it, they live. So, again, we have to be just watchful and careful of the enemy because he attacks us in so many different ways on so many different levels, and this is why we have to use our Heavenly Father. Amen. We go to him because we know that he is able to keep us and protect us from all hurt, harm, and dangers. Amen. So with that being said, I'm going to move forward. We're going to pray. I'm going to read some scriptures, the scriptures of love. We're going to go ahead and get started. Amen. I guess if Elder Bazaar is coming in, my brother just come in a little later, which is fine, but we're going to go ahead and get started. In the word, amen. Let's go ahead and say a prayer. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for another blessed day. We come thanking you for this life. We come thank you for our lives, soul, health, and strength. We thank you for the promise of salvation. We thank you for your hand of protection over our lives daily, over our loved ones and friends. Amen. We even come praying for our enemies. We pray for their salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for life itself. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We thank you again for what you've done, what you're doing, and for what you are about to do. Dear Heavenly Father, protect family and friends as they travel up and down the dangerous highway. We know a lot of people are having family reunions and vacations during this time of the year. People are getting on cruise ships. They're traveling. They're getting on planes and traveling abroad. We just come praying, Heavenly Father, to protect and keep our family and friends and loved ones. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. We pray that the word be delivered this day. Give me a word, give me the strength, give me the heart and mind. Amen. Amen. So, again, and now hopefully y'all can hear me because for some reason I just don't sound the way that I usually sound when I'm on the air. It sounds like I'm, like, speaking to you from across the room. Amen. But hopefully you can hear me. Amen. It's good to be back. I plan on being back on the air as much as I can, even though I've picked up other responsibilities and obligations. God is good. Amen. So we have to thank him for the opportunities that he has afforded us in this life. Amen. To what? To do the work of him that sent us. Amen. We're building the kingdom. Amen. When God blesses you, amen, with money and income, what do? We pay our tithes with that. With that money God has blessed us with, we don't forget to bring money into the storehouse, amen, and to be blessed, right? And so there's a reason that God blesses us with income, that he blessed you with your job. We know some people have businesses. If he blessed you with a business, amen, a good thing to do is what? Turn around and be a blessing to someone, amen. We know the scripture says, will a man rob God, amen? He said, where have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings, amen. That's Malachi, the third chapter, verse 8. Will a man rob God? My dad used to be, that used to be one of his favorite scriptures. I remember he used to always say that when I was a kid. He believed in paying tithes. He taught all his boys to pay tithes, amen. I know sometimes we didn't always follow instructions until we know, we run into a hardship, and amen, and we begin to understand, well, why am I struggling so bad? It's because you ain't been paying your tithes. Hey, my dad used to tell me, you paying your tithes? You know, you complain about money, that's be the first go-to. Amen. You got to love the old school, because the old school is going to keep it real, and they're going to say certain things to you, amen, to remind you of what your first love, our first teachings that they have taught us from the time that we were young in our youth. Pay your tithes, amen. It says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have what robbed me, even this whole nation. We've got to remember to contribute to the kingdom. I know sometimes people will say silly things and mislead you and say silly things like, oh, well, you giving money to the pastor for his house and his car and his jewelry and his clothes and his wife to have money. It's not for me to make judgment, to pass judgment. Amen. We don't know how else the money may be used. That may be somewhat true. But as long as they're growing the kingdom of God, as long as they are helping people in the community, I don't have a problem with the pastor prospering, amen, because the Bible says your gift shall make room for you. So we have to understand scripture before we just go listen to all kind of types of nonsense from people that's not even trained in the word in the Bible. I tell people all the time, why don't you listen to somebody about the Bible that's not even trained in the Bible? They don't even go to church, but yet you're going to listen to them about the Bible. That's one thing I never did do, is take advice from someone that knew nothing about it, amen. It's kind of like taking advice from someone who has no knowledge about being a mechanic. You're going to listen to somebody who works as a cook in the kitchen. They don't know nothing about cars, but you're going to take advice from someone that doesn't have knowledge on vehicles and cars. You know, people are so funny. You know, people make you laugh at some of the things that they do. But no, point that I'm making is that we make sure that we are listening to the people who are trained. They may at least have some type of training and knowledge. At least go to church if you're going to listen to somebody that's giving you advice on the Word of God, the Bible of God, or of God's very existence. You got people who don't even believe in God out here, but then they want to try to give some advice on the Bible or about God. That's just the most foolish nonsense that I've ever heard, is you taking advice from somebody who never studies the Bible. They just talking and giving their opinion. Well, the scripture says in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not, see, God is challenging you, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. God said, try. Pay your tithes for a year. Pay it for one whole full year. Pay your tithes. Do the best that you can. Miss that cell phone bill. Miss that cable bill. You know, miss some of those other bills, that credit card that you've been paying on. Be late on that. But pay God on time. And he said, what? He said, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. To his, according to his holy word. That's just a little side note, just a little something I want to give you. We've been talking about eschatology so long. Amen. I've been talking about eschatology for the past 2 years. It's been a while since I just preached just a regular sermon. I think I'm going to start doing that. Amen. Who knows? No, I may throw in a day while I just may get back to the kind of like the old school teachings. Amen. Let me read the context of love. Amen. I've already said a prayer. Usually I read the scripture and then say a prayer. Let me read the context of love, and I want to share with you some of my experiences. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31 says, but cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave himself unseemly, seeking not our own. He is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be knowledge, they shall Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, amen.
Amen, brother. I just got online.
All
I'm
right,
sorry.
Amen. It's good to hear you, man. I was telling the brother earlier, Derek, amen, I can barely hear you. I can barely hear myself. Usually when I'm on there, I can hear myself pretty good, but it sounds like I'm talking to you from way across the room, so bear with me, brother. Work with me. Amen. We're going to get through this day. I can barely hear you, but we're going to work through it. I'm glad you're here. Amen. We're going to jump right into this word. I'm just going to finish reading this. Amen. But I'm glad you're here, brother. Amen. But it says,
all right,
that,
all right.
Which is perfect.
How am I coming in?
Amen. It says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and listened as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Amen. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Amen. So let me share. Amen. My experience with you. Amen. I'm glad the brother's here with me tonight. Amen. Speaking to a preacher, I've actually asked him to come on to the show. He said he's going to come on. That's probably what I'm going to do. I'm just going to start inviting some of these pastors on here. And this is not to call out anybody. It's not to challenge anybody. It's not to embarrass anybody. But he said he don't believe that Christ is on his way back. He said he believed that Christ won't be back to another probably 200 or 300 years. He said, I said our kids would be grandparents by the time that Christ came out. I said, you know what? Originally, that's what I thought. I thought that Christ not going to come back. Amen. For at least another 100 to 200 to 300 years. I actually said that.
Yeah.
Amen. I thought that myself. But I remember my dad teaching us and saying every 2,000 years, a great event happened. We're in that 2,000 years. Now, we're not saying where, because we understand that it could be, you know, some time away. We're not trying to say exactly when Christ is coming back. But we feel, based off the things that's going on in the world, and I know that some people don't feel like it's bad enough. I don't know what people want to happen. I don't know if they want America to be in a nuclear war, Holocaust, or I don't know what people want to wake people up. But, you know, people seem to have this mindset that we're fine. That's the mindset. And I look at every day at the news, I see tragedy over here, tragedy over there, tragedy here. And you see Russia, you see China. And you look at the prophecies in the Bible, and you begin to ask, you know, people fight out in the streets. There's mayhem everywhere. And like I said earlier in the show, I don't know if it's because we live in a day and time that we have access to more news. We have access to more crimes. We have access to this stuff at our fingertips. You just go online. But
yeah.
I remember a time in the 80s, you used to hear about stuff. Of course, you didn't hear about stuff that went on in certain cities. Places, but now we have the ability to know all this stuff that's going on around the world. People are, there's news media everywhere, online, everywhere. People are informing you about the things that's going on in this world. I don't foresee God allowing this age to continue as evil and wicked as it's become. I really don't see it. I could be wrong. Amen, but brother, I know me and you have spoken, we feel the same way. I just feel like God may be more likely on his way back. That's how I feel. I even told the brother, I said, man, I mean, if God tries to come back this year, next year. He said, no, he said, definitely not. that fast. Amen. So I said, brother, me and you going to have to talk and sit down and go over some scriptures. He claimed that he's read Revelation, but I've asked, I said, brother, have you studied Revelation? Because you can read, but reading and studying is two different things. Amen. You can read over something, but you have to really dig deep and get up under the surface of something. You have to study it.
Yes,
so
sir.
Looking at the scriptures, looking at the time, like Paul said, the seasons and times that we're in, amen, this is not to be ignored. We are not to blow off some of the things that's Bible prophecy. We cannot look at Gog and Magog and turn a deaf ear. We can't look at the threats that China is making. We can't look at the fact that, and I know that I've said this before, I know Elder Bazaar said it, look at the relationship between Russia and Africa. And people don't feel like that's strange. And the Bible talks about Ethiopia. And I've told you all this before on the show many times in the past, that there used to be a time that all of Europe, when they mentioned Ethiopia, they was talking about the entire continent of Africa, if not majority of Africa. And it's funny that the Bible says Ethiopia and Libya. Well, you can't ignore that. There are some things that's going on that we cannot, we cannot ignore. Something is going on. The mask mandate, amen. The mask mandate wasn't the mark of the beast, but it was definitely a type. We've never seen anything like that before where the entire planet, other than the time that Caesar attacked the world, which was during the time of Christ, which was when? 2,000 years ago.
Yes,
here,
sir,
we are 2,000 years later. We have a whole mandate to the entire world. And now we have social media. The world has a reach now that's just not to the known world, meaning that the known world back in ancient times was what? Egypt, Mesopotamia, Babylon, Greece, Rome. Now the known world is everywhere. The worldwide is pretty much has a global reach now with the internet, with technology. And the Bible said, Dave said, what? You will know the time. He said, knowledge shall be increased. We get the word and information on the Bible faster than ever. Look at technology is increased. Paul spoke of this. Daniel talked about this. We are not to ignore these things. We are in a time to where if the whole world wants to see the Antichrist, how can they see it? They can see it in the palm of their hand with their cell phone device. And let me tell you, there's almost nobody that don't have a cell phone. At least 90 to 95% of the population of the earth, I would think, have cell phones. We got my grandkids. My daughter bought the grandkids cell phones. My two grandboys got, they each got cell phones. They're not even older than 10 years old. I'm thinking to myself, what they need was cell phones, amen. But you know, I don't direct their lives, amen. They're still alive. That's their kids. You know, they're my grandkids. That's her boys, her husband's son, and they train them up the way that they see fit. I'm quite sure my dad probably thought some of the things that I was doing with my kids and probably thinking what they need with that, amen. So I understand it. I get it. But the whole point that I'm making is that we cannot ignore the times that we're in, brother.
We got to acknowledge
these things. We as a church cannot sit back and just sit back idle and just let the devil just have his way without calling out some of these things and that, without trying to shake and wake up the church and wake up the world. It is our job. It is our duty. That's what God, that's what we're born for. That's why we live. That's why God blessed us to live all these years, to get to come to this time to where we can say the things that we're saying. The Laodicean church.
Amen.
We know about that church, how the church was lukewarm. Well, if you don't think the church is lukewarm at this day and time, man, oh, man, let me tell you, something is really wrong with you. Amen. I remember my dad, before he passed, he used to talk about how we don't have church like they have church. Amen. I know he's telling the truth. Amen. I know he tells the truth. I see documentaries on old churches back in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s before the 80s and the 90s came. And, man, there were people standing outside the churches trying to get in. You don't see that no more. You don't see people standing outside the church just to hear the pastor, priest sitting outside the church. They wasn't sitting outside, bro. I know you know something about this. They was actually standing outside listening to the pastor through the microphone preach. At this day and time, people are standing outside the clubs, the strip clubs, the bars. I remember I used to drive Uber. Man, I'd be driving, dropping people off, and just like, Lord have mercy. So this is where everybody's at. They didn't transfer from the church to the club. They sitting outside of concerts waiting to get in. Long line. People getting eat up by mosquitoes. It's cold. They don't care if it's cold or hot. They, you know, people standing on a long line. And amen, I'm guilty of it because in my time back in the 90s, that's what we did. Amen. We stand outside the club.
Right.
Come on now, Dr. Wade. We see them pretty girls lined up in them little short dresses and high heels. Man, we say, hey, man, you see that? Getting out the car, man. Hurry up, man. We're running late. Brother, let's go. We try to run up there and get in line behind the girl. We all outside. Amen.
Cool.
I'll tell you, I'm guilty. I always tell people, man, if I can't preach to myself, I ain't got no business preaching to nobody else. Amen.
I remember
a time where I did it too. Amen.
Come on.
What I'm saying to you is there's nothing new under the sun. But the time will come that Christ will return. This brother said the same thing I've heard many people say. Oh, they were saying that when my grandfather used to preach when I was a boy. My grandfather used to preach. They used to say Christ was coming back. I said, see, he sounded like one of my relatives. I said, see. So we see these things, amen, and we see how people mind. Now, this is a preacher I mind. He's not a pastor, but he's a preacher. Amen. I mind you that he said that. And so that lets me know that if our everyday pastors, and I'm willing to say over 90% of them have not given the book of Revelation or the return of Christ any serious concerns, that is a reason to be concerned. Amen. That lets you know that, brother, we are closer than what we think. Because what did he say? He told us to watch. And the fact,
what?
If you go through all Revelation, especially the first three chapters where Christ is talking about, what did he say? He said, behold, I come, what? Quickly.
Yeah.
He was sending a warning to the churches throughout the church age, and particularly he knew that the time that he was going to come back, and Paul said that there's going to be, well, things that you need to pay attention to
in the world before
Christ returns.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what Paul said.
He said, what did he say? He said, the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. But he mentioned it. He said, but of the times. In other words, it's going to be something different about the times. The times is going to be different than any other time that's been in the world. And when we connect that to when he says times, we connect it back to what Daniel said. Daniel said, I'm going to get ready to turn over to the brother. Well, I got to say this. He gave me the green light. He said, go ahead. I got to say this. I connect that to what Daniel said over in Daniel, the 12th chapter, when he said that knowledge shall be what? Increased. Well, we are in those times. This is a time like no other. When have they had cell phones thousands of years ago? Man, this time is inconceivable. When I was a child, when I was a kid, even out of high school, we had no thought that computers. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go to the library. We used a computer once or twice a year. It was neat to get on. We loved it as kids. We're like, man, why don't we have this in the classroom? We'd go to the library, use it for 30 minutes to an hour. We'd go back to class. We wouldn't see the computer until the next semester. We only use it like twice a year. But now we can't live without computers. You can't live without your cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone in their hand. If you forget your cell phone, you go back to the house and get it before you get your wallet.
Yeah.
Amen. This is the age of technology. And now they're announcing some type of new technology that's coming out. I said, Lord have mercy, what they fixing to bring out now? And so you look at these things, and we have to say this is a peculiar time. This is not like the time of old where people rode on horses and walked. But when I was traveling through Texas, amen, you better talk to me, doctor. I remember when I was traveling through Texas, I was driving. I was thinking to myself, I said, man, I could imagine living hundreds of years ago riding on horses or walking 200 or 300 miles just to get to another city or town. I couldn't imagine that, brother. I know they had trains, but everybody couldn't afford the trains. So
this is a
peculiar time that we're in that Paul spoke about in 1 Thessalonians 5:1. He said, but of the time, we are in the time of what? Knowledge.
Yeah.
You can get Bible knowledge so fast. You go online and take Bible classes. Bible knowledge is increased. People are looking for more information. People are surfing the web. So many people are looking for information about Revelation and eschatology, the end time. People want to know what's going on. This is the time. And then Paul said, what? And the seasons.
Yeah.
Look at the seasons we go through. We got the mothers against the daughters, the fathers against the sons. Amen. I ain't gonna lie. I've been getting into it with my kids lately, and particularly the boys and the daughter too. But these kids, amen. I was telling my brother, I said, boy, they're not like us. These kids now, they're more disrespectful. They're more ungrateful. Amen. I had to have a talk with my sons. I'm like, you know, what is going on? These kids now, they don't want to work. They don't want to get jobs. Our men, our young men, I say, Lord, how? I don't know what's going on with them. Everybody talk about that, how the young men don't want to work. I said, man, somebody mentioned this. I said, brother, I don't know what it is. I'm having that problem too. Now, some of them do, but I got one son. I'm trying to pray for him and stick on him, but Lord, it's just frustrating because I wasn't like that growing up. My dad taught us how to work. I've always worked. I told my son, I said, man, if you want a house and a car and nice things, you got to go to work. Ain't nobody going to take care of you. This is the season that we are living in. We're in the microwave generation. We got social media. Everybody wants to snap and look good, look pretty. People want something for nothing. People are doing everything for money, brother. I hate to hear that young lady down in Houston. Come on, doctor, talk with me. I'm sorry, but I got to get this out real quick. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Hitting the head, hitting the nail, driving it through the wood. I mean,
amen.
You get it hard because we are absolutely, definitely, uniquely, we are in the last days.
Yeah, we are there, doctor. We are there. The young lady lost her life down in Houston. Amen. The man dismembered her body. He told him he would give her $500. And Lord have mercy. Amen. Get a job. Amen. Go ahead, bro. I'm going to let you say something. Go ahead, bro. I'm going to come back. Go ahead, doctor. I can barely hear you. Let's see if we can let them know. I can barely hear you, brother. Go ahead.
You're expressing exactly what's going on, and the reason it's going on because we're at the end of what? The church age. That's the end. The end of the church age. We are getting ready for those that are left here are getting ready for the seventh week to enter into the seventh week spoken by Daniel the prophet. Before the rapture of the church occur, there are some specific things has to take place in the Jewish realm, in the Jewish setup, and that is the Jews must get ready to prepare to build a temple, and they are getting ready to reestablish a new temple. And the Jews got to have this temple. This temple have to be built. And now is the time that the temple is being prepared to rebuild it so that the Jews specifically want to go back to Judaism and stay in Judaism because they believe that Judaism is the way to salvation. Judaism is not the way to salvation. Judaism was a type and shadow of a unique sacrifice. And that unique sacrifice, Jesus Christ, came down here 2,000 years ago. And I hear the brother say every 2,000 years something happened. And that's a fact. From Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. From Abraham to the birth of Jesus Christ, 2,000 years. From the birth of Jesus Christ until this present 2021, 2022 is almost exactly 2,000 years. The 2,000 years will be up, 2029. I hope you can get a grip of that now. Why? Because we're in the last days. The church age is practically over. Why? Because the Bible said in the last day there shall be a falling away from what? The faith. Falling away from what? The faith of Jesus Christ. Well, what is the falling away from? You're falling away from the birth. You're falling away from the suffering. You're falling away from the miracles. You're falling away from the burial and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Men don't lift up the cross anymore. The cross is not being lifted up. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Preachers are preaching the motivation speeches. They're hogging the money. They're telling people lies. They don't even read from the scriptures anymore. They don't even preach out of the word of God. They get up and just say motivation and tell you things and ideas that you can make yourself a better person. Well, you can't make yourself a better person. The only power on this earth, the only power on this earth that can change people's lives is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
Nothing else. Your works, your good looks, your fine cars, your women, your decoration and all the party you can do, all the education you can get, all this stuff is vanity, vexation of the spirit, because none of this stuff can save your soul. And this is what the devil wants people to believe, that it's not necessary for the salvation through Jesus Christ. They got over 4,472 different kinds of religion worldwide, and maybe even more than that. And they're talking right now, hey, we can go to heaven if we just, you know, just believe in a God and serve in the way we want to serve. And really, the cross is not necessary. Well, let me tell you something. Apostle Paul fixed that. Apostle Paul said, preaching of the cross to those that perish is foolishness. And the world believe that preaching the cross is foolish to them. And the Bible said they believe it's foolish. They are going to perish. People are dying, going to hell every day. Why? Because they're rejecting the Christ that died on Calvary's cross. The devil knows that he ain't got nothing but a short time. He ain't got nothing but a few months, maybe. He ain't got nothing but a few, maybe a year. I doubt it if we get out of 2022. I'm serious, because let me tell you, the brother said that this year this man cut this woman up and put it in a cellophane bag and threw it in the trash can. And this is happening before. They do it every day. There's somebody. I mean, when you get out there in that world, and let me tell you, the devil is going crazy. He is losing who you are, what you are, where you're coming from. He's always starting something. He wants tried to destroy the church, but he can't destroy the true church. But he's got his own church. He's got his own salvation. He's got his own way to make people believe that they can get to heaven on their works, on their looks, on the color of their skin. They think they're going to heaven. And let me tell you something. The worstest man in the world that can die, when they die, they believe that he can go to hell. Well, let me tell you, if he die in his sins, listen, if he die in his sin, he's going to bust hell wide open. And I don't say that with Charlie. I'm not happy about that. But he's going to bust hell wide open. Whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not shall be damned. And the word said Man. That. Jesus said that. He spoke more about hell. Listen, he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. He tried to point to people, escape from the wrath to come. Escape from the wrath to come. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We got folks going straight to hell, my friend. I'm telling you this. I'm not playing, because let me tell you, if you have not been born again, you can't love nobody.
That's right.
You cannot love nobody. You cannot love your neighbor. But the Bible says whoever is born of God is a new creature. Whoever is born of God receives Christ. When you receive Christ, you receive the love of Christ. The Bible said if a man say he loved God, listen what it said. If you love God, if you in love with God, I mean you love God, you obeying God, and then you hate your brother, the Bible say you are a liar and the truth is not in you. How can you love God
right.
Almighty? Whom you have never seen, and here's your brother here in the front of you, and you hate him. And let me tell you something.
Right.
Ain't no such thing as like somebody in the Bible. It says love one another. He said love your neighbor as yourself, and then love God and love your neighbor. And the world today is full of hate. Oh, yeah, in the church, resentment, envy, jealousy, adultery, fornication, number playing, drinking, lying, cheating, sex parties in church. Don't let that, I mean, people going to ask, oh, I love Jesus. But, man, let me tell you, you can say you can love Jesus all you want with your lips, but your heart is far from him. Jesus stood down when he get ready to stand in Jerusalem and call the judgment of the nations. You know what he's going to say? He said, the goat is on the left and the sheep is on the right. And the goats on the left is going to say, hey, Lord, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do wonderful miracle works? Oh, we did all kinds of things. And we know we got a place in heaven. And Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus Christ said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. In other words, Christ said, you never accepted me. You never have been redeemed. You never been born again. You have the form of godliness, but you ain't got no power. And the only power that a man can have to live above sin and conquer sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. And if the blood of Jesus Christ is not in you through the Holy Spirit, the devil watch you. And the world is saying, well, Jesus ain't coming. Man, we're going to get out of this. And that's what they said in Peter. Peter said that when they would say words of promise of becoming the father that fell asleep, things continue as they were. Oh, he ain't come. Those guys up there is crying whoop, 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 whoop. I've been crying whoop, whoop, whoop for 57 years. Brother Jackson been crying whoop, 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 what, for 20-some years. And we still crying whoop. Because let me tell you, the whoop is going to stop crying. Now, that's why. Because let me tell you, we're living right
Amen.
On the edge. Church age, and we're getting ready to enter into the 7-year tribulation period, because nobody else is going to come on the scene try to straighten out this world. The next great event that's going to happen is the Antichrist will arrive on the scene. And I want to let
that's
you
right.
know this. He's alive today, brother Jackson, he's alive today. I'll tell my cat, I'll tell my dog, I'll tell my brother, I'll tell my sister, I'll tell my enemy. The Antichrist is alive, a full-grown man, and he's waiting for one event to happen. He's waiting for one event to happen. What is it? The rapture. He cannot
Amen.
Come on the world scene until after the body of Jesus Christ is excommunicated to heaven in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. The dead Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we be with the Lord. Well, where is the church going? The church is going to the judgment seat of Bema, the Bema seat of Jesus Christ. We're going to be judged for the works that we have done down here, whether it be good
or
all friends of God. The hypocrite ain't going to be there. The sinner's not going to be there. And somebody said, well, what about the backslider? Well, you ought to read your Bible. Jeremiah, the Lord said, I am married to a backslider. I am married to a backslider to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, who are you to judge what somebody's going and you don't know nothing about salvation? Because you got to have salvation before you come in the presence of the judgment seat of Christ. But the main thing is, when the rapture of the church occurs, it's going to be a shockwave, a heart attack, suicide. The world is going to be turned upside down. The Antichrist is going to rise, and the world is going to welcome him, because no other man is going to be like this man since the time of the beginning of time, which was Nimrod. And you can take Nimrod, Hitler, you can take Napoleon, you can take all the dictators of the world and put them together. These men were never equal to this Antichrist, because he's going to be the raw devil in the flesh. He's going to be a raw devil in the flesh, because he's going to incarnate this Antichrist after he be shot. He's going to be shot on public square. He's going to be shot on TV. Folks are going to witness it, and they're going to put a deadly wound to his head, and he's going to live in the morgue for what? 3 days dead. You hear what I said? Dead as a doughnut. And Lucifer, listen to what the got to say. I'm not making this up. I didn't go to no drawing board to try to figure this out. I went to the Word of God. This Antichrist is going to be indwelled by Satan himself, and he will become the beast in the middle of the tribulation. And he becomes the beast. All hell is going to break loose, because he's going to institute executive order that the mark of the beast will arise. When it will arrive, in the midst of Jerusalem, when the Antichrist has consecrated the temple that the Jews are going to build. And when they get through building it, he's going to take all the sacrifices and offerings and cannon and break the covenant. When he breaks the covenant, he's going to tear down and rip out the Ark of the Covenant. He's going to say, now I'm going to sit in the holies of holies of holies. And nobody who in the Old Testament could go into the holies of holies but the priest. The priest. And when the Old Testament time was up, when Jesus Christ died, let me tell you, he died until the veil temple was rented from top to bottom, and now we don't have to worry about going to priests now. We go to the high priest. We go straight to Jesus. And the world today don't want to go straight to Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by me. So the world today is wondering when he's going to come. I ain't worried about when he's going to come, because let me tell you, the way the Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right now, he's on the brink of what? Moving the church. Laodicea is that what? And I'm going to give it to the brother. The lukewarm church. They were what? Ooh, let me read what condition they were in. Let me get that real quick. Amen. In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, this is scripture here. Amen. I love the scripture. It says here, Laodicea, these things I write, amen. Faithful and true witnesses, beginning of creation. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold or you're neither hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Either, if you want to be a child of God, be a child of God. If you're not going to be a child of God, let it alone. Don't be messing with God's salvation. Don't be claiming that you know Jesus Christ and you don't know him, because you're still doing the same old things you've been doing 30 and 40 years ago. And let me tell you, when you get a change from Christ, when you become a new creature, you change. Your heart change. Your soul change. Your attitude change. Your mind change. Why? Because you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything is new. And Jesus said, if you're not hot, don't claim hot. If you're cold, don't claim hot. And if you're hot, don't claim cold. Why? Because you can't straddle the food. Listen to what John the Revelator said. He said, so that they became, thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot. I will vomit you. That's what spew means. Vomit you. Therefore, out of my mouth. Jesus Christ said, y'all make me sick. You make me sick. Why? Because you are half-heartedly. You don't know nothing about the resurrection. You don't know nothing about my suffering. You don't know nothing about my tears. You don't know nothing about my Gethsemane. You don't know nothing about the time they put me. You don't know nothing about it.
Amen.
Let me tell you, when you get saved and sanctified, amen, the crucifixion is on your mind every day. The crucifixion should be on your mind every day, because what Christ went through, nobody else could do it. And I'm going to bow down to him. And the world today, church folks are bowed down to preachers. They're bowed down to the bishop. They're bowed down to the money. They're bowed down to the husband and the children. They're bowed down. They have a form of godliness, and they ain't got a bit of power, because they're not loving one another. They're not comforting one another. They're not encouraging one another. They run you down and dog you, and they like to see you down. And church folks got some evil ways. And Jesus Christ said, look, here's what y'all saying. I'm going to give it to the brother, but this is what they're saying. He said, because thou said, I am rich. The mega churches, the big, big thoroughfare churches. 3,000, 30,000 people, 40,000 people going into one service. One man gets up and speaks. He don't speak nothing about repentance. He don't speak nothing about the crucifixion. He don't speak nothing about the sanctification and justification. He don't speak nothing about faith. He don't speak nothing about good works through Jesus Christ. Because only what you do for Christ will ever last. And if you're not saved, if you're not sanctified, you can't do nothing through Christ without the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. Ooh, so if you ain't saved, you don't belong to God, because you've been bought with a price. You've been sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. And this is what these church folks are saying. This is what these fellows are saying. I am rich. Increase with what? Goods. I got planes, I got cars, I got, my God, I got boats, I got real estate, man, look at me, and look at the people that's supporting me, and the preachers ain't preaching nothing, man, come on. Where's hell at? Hell still exists, hell will always exist, and if you haven't been born again, saved and sanctified, you're born to hell. You're going to hell, brother. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how white you are. I don't care how black you are. I don't care how educated you are. If you haven't been born again, you're lost. And you're going to spend eternity in where? In a place where you're going to pay for what? Your own sins. Since you didn't want Jesus Christ to pay for your sins, and you rejected him with your rich self, you rejected him with your educated self, you rejected him with all the recreation that you can think of, and you just partied all the time, and you went to church and stayed there for 2 hours and came back home, and you ain't got your mind on nothing but trying to have a good time. I'm talking about church folks now. I ain't talking about saved, sanctified, being with the Holy Ghost, looking and working in the house of God, trying to win souls to please of Christ, trying to tell somebody about this wonderful love. Listen, I'm getting ready to get rid of the brother, but I want to get this in here. Listen to what it says. It says, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. You're miserable. You're poor in spirit. You don't have the Spirit of Christ. You have the spirit of Satan. You have the spirit of the devil, because the devil is in you. When the devil's in you, you won't do what the devil tell you to do. When you got that kind of spirit, you don't have the Spirit of God in you, because when the Spirit of God comes in you, you have the spirit of love, mercy, goodness, forgiveness. You have you humble yourself. You bring yourself before the feet of Jesus Christ, and you admit that you need help from Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. You're miserable and poor and blind and naked. I ain't talking about physical naked. I'm talking about spiritual nakedness.
Come on.
And if you spiritual nakedness, you ain't got nothing on. And the only thing you can have on, the Holy Ghost is the only thing that you can have on. And if you haven't been born in the Holy Ghost, if you haven't been justified in the Holy Ghost, if you have not been loved of God in the Holy Ghost, guess what? You don't belong to God. Because without the Spirit of God in your life, your soul, your sin are still there. And if you're still there, that means the blood of Jesus Christ has not washed your sins away. And we're living in such a last day now that people are saying, hey, I ain't even worried about it. I'm going to go ahead and do what I got to do. I'm going to do all I can because I know something happened. I'm going to close with this. The world out there, the folks that don't even go to church, they are preparing for the tribulation period. They got
right,
underground.
Amen.
They got food in the tunnels. They got gasoline.
Now.
They got ammunition. They got all kinds of food and goods, and they're taking it underground because the folks out there in the world know something is getting ready to happen.
That's right.
And church folks sitting up in there thinking ain't nothing happening, but it's going to happen. And it's going to catch them so far off guard that the suicide rate, when the rapture of the church, the suicide rate is going to jump sky high. You talking about gas prices going up. Good God Almighty. It's going to be more than that going up after the rapture. It's going to be total confusion. It's going to be a lie told because when this Antichrist comes, and he steps on the annals of time because all the presidents of the United States have never been able to straighten America out. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to be able to do what? He's going to be able to take us through the tribulation. He's going to be able to wrap us in judgment. He's going to be able to judge us for our works. And he's going to be able to, what, at the end of the tribulation, he's going to put the devil in, what, the bottomless pit. And he is going to start his millennium reign. And the children that live now are not caught up in the rapture. The teenagers that's not caught up in the rapture, if they know the word of God, they're going to be the millennium children. Because after the tribulation period, there's going to be people left up on this earth that receive Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. God's going to take him into the millennium reign, and he's going to repopulate the earth with these children that's live now. Many people will enter the millennium reign in their natural body, and God says, I'm going to what? Repopulate the earth without the devil. The devil will be bound in hell. And the church will rule. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise God. The church will rule. Jesus Christ with a rod of iron. And we are going to go into the millennium reign for 1,000 years of blessings. Nothing but blessings. Nothing but
That's
joy.
Right.
And we will be able to rule and reign with Jesus Christ and help him in every aspect, in judicial, in the political. Well, because the Lord said, I'm going to rule with a rod of iron. In other words, democracy will
said.
Be done with it, and we'll have a theocracy government. Hallelujah! What you talking about, theocracy government? A theocracy government is God rule. I want God to rule my life. I want God to rule the world. I want the devil to be put to flight. I want to sing and praise his name. I want to be what? A child of God. I don't hide myself. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll holler out and tell the world, brother, and I know you will do the same thing. Why? Because we are doing this
Amen.
Not for money. We're doing this for souls. Souls need to know that God
right.
is love. Nothing but love. And he wants us to
Amen.
Love him. He wants us to love our fellow brother. And that means the unlovely and the lovely. Don't love what
Come
they
on.
Do, but love their soul to let them know Christ, only Jesus Christ, can save your soul. I thank you for this
That's
opportunity
right.
to write. And we'll give it to the brother, and he's going to go ahead and do what he got to do. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. The watchman on the wall, amen. Elder Bazaar, amen. That was an awesome word, doctor,
amen.
It's good to be here, good to be back on the air. We thank God the Most High for our listeners, amen. A lot of people can't see
amen.
It. A lot of people don't believe it, amen. But this is
no.
the warning, amen, that Christ gave to John. He said, go and what? Tell the seven churches, tell the church. Wake up the
church.
And right now, brother, like you said, the church is sleeping. Amen. They're going to church. They might want to walk in the church with their pillows and their pajamas. Amen. They are sleeping in the church. Amen. Most people don't believe that Christ is due to come back soon. Amen. They think, oh, this is just a coincidence. But Satan has done a job on the church preparing for this time, and he has lulled the church to sleep. Amen. He has put the church to sleep. I'm going to read a scripture. Amen. But that was awesome because I'm going to come back over, and we're going to talk about Babylon a little bit. But I want to go over to the book of Jude. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude. And you all are familiar with this passage. Watch what it says. Jude, first chapter, third verse. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Amen. The saints are not getting that word today in the church. Amen. The brothers today getting motivational speeches. You got pastors then that stand up and preach and have the nerve to not even use their Bible. And if they do use the Bible, when they read scriptures or passages, they don't even preach on what they read. Amen. Church now is an entertainment ground. People go there for songs and praise dances and who got the best choir, who got the best praise team. And the devil has put the church to sleep. Watch what the scripture says in verse 4. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen. So it's funny, brother, because I remember when I used to pastor back in Dallas, one of my members, she said, "Pastor," she said, "you know, I went to visit this other church." She said, "Everything that you was teaching was true. I went to this church, and this pastor had this, he had like a Mason symbol in his church. I was wondering, well, why would he have that in his church?" And a lot of these people don't understand. A lot of these pastors are Masons. These folks are not working for God. These folks are working for the devil. These folks have come into the church and parade themselves as pastors and ministers and men of God, men of the cloth, with the intent to deceive the church, to deceive the body of Christ. And this is why Christ gave the message to John, amen, to what? Wake up the church. Let the church know, amen. You see, out of the seven churches, how many churches was found, amen, with no condemnation? Only two churches out of seven, amen. So that's not a good number. That means two passed the test, but the other five churches were lost. And that's what we're seeing in today's age. This is what we see in today's day and time. The church is full of wealth as the church of Laodicea. If you go back and you research the church of Laodicea, you'll know that this city was a wealthy city. It was a merchant city. And the people who attended the church, they was full of wealth. That's why the scripture says, watch, I'm going to go back and read what you said earlier, brother. Amen. Amen. Let's see what it says. It says, "Because thou sayest," verse 17 of Revelation says, "because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing." We know that, especially particularly here in America, the church is wealthy. People are wealthy. People from third world countries come here and tell me all the time, "We're rich in America." I said, "Man, I'm not rich. What are you talking about?" But when you think about it, compared to the way they live back in those third world countries, we are rich. We are very wealthy. We live good. We eat every day. We don't miss a meal. Most of us eat two or three times a day. We snack. The church is living good. We got people go to church with $200 or $300 shoes, $1,000 suits. The pastors drive the best of the best off the lot. This is the last church in the church age that Christ gave John to give the message to. There was a reason that Laodicea was the last of the seven churches, because it represented the last church of the church age. These are the signs that the pastors are not preaching and teaching and telling their members. They're just steady going to church. going in and out. They're not paying attention to the things that Paul said. Paul said of the times and the seasons, and people are not paying any attention to it. We are in the Laodicean church age. This church here is very wealthy. People are stuck up. People nose now. I see people at the store. They don't even want to speak. People are cliquish now in the church. And I remember, like I said earlier, my dad telling me stories that long time ago, back in the 40s and the 50s, how people used to stand outside the church. They had to stand outside the church, not sit, stand outside the church just to hear the message of God. Now you can't even get people to come to churches now. Churches, you walk into a church now, it's sporadic. Everybody wants their own church. Everybody wants to be the next T.D. Jakes or Creflo Dollar or Joel Osteen. Everybody want to have a mega church now. Everybody goes to get a big church. But what about saving souls? What about bringing souls to Christ? Brother, I don't know if I lost you. I don't hear you. Amen. But God is good. Amen. Amen. Hopefully you'll get to come back in here before I leave. If not, amen, I'll take us on in and we'll be back on the air tomorrow. Amen. Because we have to get this message out. We want to wake up as many people as we possibly can. Amen. We're here to lead in God and teach leadership in the church. Amen. To let people know about eschatology. This needs to be taught. This needs not to be ignored. People take this as a joke. Amen. They take this as a side thing. Like, no, that's not going to happen. Amen. I had one of my family members tell me that. Man, don't you know that I've been hearing that since I was a kid back in the 60s, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s, they said the world's about to end. Christ is about to return. Had a family member tell me that. Amen. I've heard other people say that. But let me tell you something. A time is going to come to where crying wolf is not, it's going to be an actual thing. Christ is really going to return to get the church. Amen. Some people think, and I used to think the same thing, but I used to think that, oh, this is not going to happen until my kids, my children's children, they'll probably get to see Christ. We're more likely not going to get to see Christ. But I can tell you right now, we're not trying to point out the day or the hour, but I can tell you right now, it's getting close. It's time for us to wake up, start shaking the saints in the church and letting them know that Christ is soon to return. He's soon to return to do what? To receive the body of Christ, the church. Amen. This is not something that we are to ignore. Amen. Watch this, what it says over in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Amen. I'm going to start at verse 4 of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 4. Watch what it says. It says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? See, questions being asked. Amen. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's the mentality of men now. Oh man, we've been hearing that since the beginning of time. When is this Christ? And it's funny because you don't hear preachers preach like they used to be when my dad used to preach. He used to preach and teach on Revelation. Amen. That's why I'm aware of and knowledgeable about Revelation. He used to talk about Revelation. But you don't even hear preachers now even read a verse out of Revelation. It's been years. In fact, it's been since I was when I first got saved back in 2000 in Irving, Texas. I'll never forget this pastor. He preached Revelation, the first chapter, a few verses out of there. That's the only time other than my dad that I've ever heard a pastor mention Revelation. Now it's like preachers are afraid of Revelation. People stay away from Revelation. They're afraid of ridicule. They're afraid of what the congregation and the deacons and some of the other pastors and ministers are going to say about them preaching and teaching on Revelation. No, Revelation is part of the Bible. It's the last of the 66 books, but it is part of the Bible. Amen. It's like they try to exclude Revelation. No, Revelation is part of the Bible, and we need to teach Revelation to the world. We need to let people know now is the time to start preaching Revelation, irregardless of when Christ come back. We can see the signs and the handwriting on the wall. It don't take a rocket science, at least it shouldn't. Amen. But you as a man and woman of God should be able to see the things that are going on in the world and see them as not as coincidence, but see them as what? This is part of prophecy. This is part of the Bible. This is part of Revelation. This is part of things to come. Amen. It is not to be ignored. Watch what it says in verse 5 of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. I'm going to read it. Now I'm going to jump over back over to Revelation. It says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Amen. Then from the next verse it talks about how basically it refers to the flood, the judgment of God. See, the first time God judged the world, watch this. Let me just go ahead and read verse 6 because it'll make a lot more sense what I'm about to say. I'm going to read verse 6 and 7. It says, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. What he's talking about was the time of Noah when man was with. There were giants in the earth in those days. There was wickedness unimaginable on the earth. We talk about, we talk about organ harvesting. We talk about child pornography. We talk about sex trafficking, children being sex trafficked, the things that are going on in this world, bestiality. These are the things that were going on during the time of Noah. God looked down and saw this evil wickedness, and it troubled him. And he had to almost wiped out mankind off the face of the planet. Almost done away with mankind. But the next time he come back, amen, he's going to come back with, he's going to destroy the earth with fire. Judgment is soon to come. The great tribulation is soon to happen, amen. We cannot ignore these things. And it said over in the book of Luke, what it say? So as it was during the days of Noah, so shall it be when the return of the Son of Man, when Christ get ready to come back. We see these things coming back. See, people don't talk about this in church. Science has already talked about they can recreate dinosaurs. Don't you know that dinosaurs was back during the time before the flood, when the fallen angels came to earth? What do you think they did? They came in and breeded with animals. They don't only just breed with the women. Read the book of Enoch. They breeded with animals and created all kind of strange creatures on the face of the planet. There were creatures that were on the earth that God didn't create. These are the things that we cannot ignore. These are the things that your average everyday pastor won't tell you about. A lot of these pastors are still hooping and hollering in churches and trying to raise $1,000 in offering by asking to raise offering 5 or 10 times just to pay the light bill, just to pay the mortgage on the church. Brother, these things shouldn't be. Amen. But if we lead with love and teach the truth, amen, we rightfully divide the word, God will make a way for your congregation, for your church. Amen. But we are not to ignore these things, the things that have gone on in the past. Now the scientists are able to talk about, they're able to clone and do gene splicing. This is the exact same thing that the fallen angels were able to do. And they've been working behind the scenes. These demons and fallen angels have been working behind the scenes with these secret societies. Amen, brother. Like I said, I think I lost you. I don't hear you. Amen. But if you're not able to join me, amen, brother, I'll be on with you tomorrow. God bless you. I'll be talking to you soon. Amen. But these are the things, amen, that have happened in the past. And like I say, you won't hear your average pastor preach on these things because they're afraid to be ridiculed. They're afraid of what the congregation is going to think. They're going to be afraid that they won't have a church. Our job is to preach the truth and to point these things out, the wickedness in the world. And this is one of the reasons that wickedness is running rampant in the world right now today, because pastors are afraid to stand up. They want to be spiritually, politically correct. Amen. We're not here for that. We're here to teach that there is a hell. There is a lake of fire. See, some people think hell and the lake of fire are the same. There are two different places. Look in the book of Revelation over in the 20th chapter, and it'll tell you, amen, that hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Man, you don't know what you're playing with. You don't know what's coming. It's going to be horrible for those that have rejected Christ. If you have rejected Christ, all I can do is pray for your soul. Say, Lord, have mercy on your soul.
because judgment is soon to come. See, a lot of people don't even know what Revelation is about. Revelation is about the last 7 years that God had for who? His chosen people, the Israelites, the priests of the world. They didn't get to do it all those years ago, so God's going to give them the last 7 years. And it's also for the judgment and punishments of those who have rejected Christ. That's why it's called the Lord's Day. Amen. Christ is going to judge the world, the entire earth, those that have rejected him. We won't be here for the mark of the beast. The church won't be here. Christ has been called home to church before the mark of the beast. Everybody keep talking about the mark of the beast, the mark of the beast. If you're saved and you believe in Christ, you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't even have to worry about the mark of the beast. We won't even be here. We'll be long gone before the mark of the beast even hits the planet. And I'll tell you right now, you don't want to be here when the Antichrist comes on the scene. Amen. Let's talk about some of these things. Amen. I got a lot I want to share with you. Amen. Let's go over to Revelation, the 6th chapter, real quick. And I want to share it with you because we know that Revelation, the 6th chapter, is basically, it's like a short timeline to show you what happened in the entire book of Revelation. That's what Revelation, the 6th chapter, does. It covers the entire book of Revelation, but it briefly lets you know what's going to happen. Amen. Now watch this. I'm going to start at, let's take a look at Revelation 6 and 2. Now this is going to be right after the church is called home. Christ is going to, he's going to split the sky, and a trumpet is going to sound, as Paul said over in Thessalonians. Amen. And Christ is going to call home the church, those that are in the grave that believe throughout the church age, and then those that are alive and remain on the earth shall be called up to heaven. And after that, like the brother said, people are going to be committing suicide on a massive level. I know that there used to be movies that used to be popular back in the 90s that we used to watch. It used to be called Left Behind, is what they were called. And what those movies were about was about the rapture, how Christ, we call it the rapture, but it's actually the gathering together of the saints. But we call it the rapture because Christ is going to come back and get the church. And soon after that, you know, they were showing the movies how the planes would crash and how cars would run into each other. And you know, people are just gonna be committing suicide. The children will be gone. All the saints and the children will be gone. They won't be here. Amen. Now watch what it says in Revelation 6 and 2. It says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." This is not Christ. This is the Antichrist, the one that wants to remove Christ out of the way. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and people can't see that this war and these threats of war. Remember what Christ said. Remember what Christ said over Matthew, the 24th chapter. His disciples said, when are the signs that these things are going to happen? Christ said, best you don't need to concern yourself because you won't be here. You'll be long gone. But what did Christ say? He said, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And the pastors in the church, preachers in the church, teachers in the church, they're not even seeing it. Those wars and rumors of war. They think that these threats of war is just a joke. It's just for show. No, it's imminent. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's like people who buy guns. They don't buy guns just to showcase them and put them in their house and put them in cases. I got a friend in Dallas, and he has a bunch of guns. He inherited some guns from his dad. And, you know, it's just a funny thing, though. People get guns. He loves to shoot. He loves his gun. I said, Lord have mercy. You think China got this hypersonic missile that we can't even detect? Nobody's talking about this. It's not covered on the news. You don't hear them talking about it. They got a hypersonic missile that we can't even detect. It can hit us in 20 minutes. Anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes, it can reach us here in America. That's how fast it'll fly. It's 5 times faster than the speed of sound. Nobody's talking about that. They are threatening Taiwan, just like Russia was threatening Ukraine. They know that this. So here's the thing. The so-called quote-unquote elite, the so-called Illuminati, they know what's about to happen. That's why you got people all over the country buying bunkers. My wife, we were driving. I was taking her to lunch one day, and I'll never forget about a month ago when I came back from Dallas. She said, see those little, what they call? They're called the little train cargoes. And it was funny because I said, they selling those things? She said, yeah. She said, on my job, you know, because she works for the city, she said, on my job, they were selling those things like crazy. I said, are you serious? She said, yes. And people are buying them and using them as underground bunkers. I said, are you serious? This was just not even about a month ago, earlier this month. I said, that's amazing. And nobody's talking about this. And they're just about cleared off the lot. She said they sell them things like crazy. But we've been talking about these bunkers for the past 2 years. You got pastors and preachers and church, not even. But see, that's because they're doing everything behind the scenes. And it's sad that our church is just steady sleep. But if you're saved, you're not going to have to worry about it no way. Amen? But for those that are in the church that's lost, that's who Christ was telling John to write to. That's who Christ was telling John to warn. Those in the church that are lost. There are people in the church that's lost. Contrary to popular belief, most people don't believe that, but there are a lot of people in the church that's lost. I just gave you the example of Revelation 1, chapters 1 through 3. There was only two churches out of the seven churches. That means two out of five was found worthy. You do the math on that. You divide that. That's less than 30%. That means that when the trumpets sound, when Christ come back to get the church, that means less than 30% of the people that actually go to church every Sunday or associate themselves as Christians or believers or whatever they want to call themselves are going to be called home. The other 70-plus percent are going to be left here on the earth to deal with the Antichrist. It's a sad thing. Amen? But we can't overlook these things. So watch this. So let me read verses 3 and 4. Then I'm going to move around. This is Revelation, the 6th chapter, verses 3. But watch what it says. It says that when he had opened the second seal, who opened the seal? This is Christ, the Lamb of God. He said, and when he had opened the second seal, because remember, only Christ was worthy to what? Open the seal. This is why John was crying at the beginning of Revelation, the 5th chapter. He was weeping. The angel said, why are you crying? Because John knew that nobody was worthy to open the seals. Nobody was worthy to bring judgment and punishment on the earth for sin. But Christ has the keys to death and hell. He was found worthy to loose us from the hold of Satan, which was death and hell, because of sin had us bound. Christ has the what? Victory. Amen. Watch this. Watch what it says. Verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. He told John, come here, come and see. And verse 4 says, and there went out another horse that was red. Amen. A lot of people don't catch on to this, but it's not by coincidence that Russia and China is what? Their representation, their country flag is red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And you could take that sword to me. It could be the military. It could be missiles. It could be this hypersonic. It could be whatever. It could be nuclear missiles. It could be all of them collectively together. But we know that Russia and China is boasting nuclear technology that they even say in the news press that America doesn't even have. We've been asleep for the past 50 years. We think it's because we got these nuclear weapons. We bombed Japan a long time ago. We flexing our muscles. We got our chest stuck out. And then Russia and China, secretly behind the curtains, have been working all this time. China was boasting, beating on their chest last year around this time, threatening America. Basically telling America, you don't want none. This is inevitable. It will happen. Amen. Amen. It will happen. Whether it be this year, next year, it could, maybe it won't be in our lifetime. But our job is to wake you up and get these preachers and pastors and ministers, people who are saints in the church, so-called saints, to see what's happening. It's time to talk about it. It's time to preach about it. It's time to wake up the church and let them know what's going on in the world and to not ignore these things, to warn the future generation. It's time to get right before Christ returns. Watch what it says. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 5. Revelation 6 and 5 says, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse." Watch this. "And he that sat on him had a pair of bowels in his hand." Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. Because the next talks about a measure of wheat or a penny. That, what that's about is scarcity of food, because we know right after war, famine kicks in. Go back and study and research World War I and World War II. And I was shocked to find out that World War I and World War II was as devastating as they were. I didn't know over 50 million people plus people who died of starvation died. I didn't know that many people had died. Right now, they say there's over 7.1 billion people on the planet. Can you imagine how much of a catastrophe this is going to be when the church is going home? See, people take this life. This coronavirus was a laughing joke compared to what Revelation is going to be. People are going to be dying in the millions, tens of millions by the weeks, by the months, in the billions. People don't see that. We used to talk about that when I was in seminary school. See, they think it's a large number. In fact, our instructor said they believe when the Great Tribulation is over and done, there may be 1 to 2 billion people left on the planet out of the Great Tribulation. That's a lot of people. There's no way they're going to be able to bury those people. That's why for years we've been seeing them secretly building these graveyards, these cemeteries with these plastic coffins. They've been doing it for over 10 years now. I remember one of my friends told me about it a long time ago. And you go on YouTube and see them. They're not building these plastic coffins for nothing. They've been doing this for years. They know what's happening. You think the fallen angels and the demons are not aware that Christ is going to come back? I told you all about the gentleman, and I got to get ready to close out the show, but I told you all about the gentleman. He was in the military. His dad was a CIA agent. His dad talked about this alien he had actually met. In fact, a friend of mine had we had the same discussion some years ago about this alien. And about his dad knew this alien that was, I think he was from Venus or some planet. Anyway, you're not going to hear these things in your everyday church. He was from Venus. But his son, which became an engineer, worked in the military, and he did these secret things for the military. And this brother has a documentary. You can go and see it on YouTube. I think his name is Phil Snyder. I think it's Phil Snyder. And he talks about how the government secretly knows that the aliens are going to return to this planet in 2030. Now, is that a coincidence that that's almost about, 7 years from now? And we've been talking about Christ might return. Well, don't you know that they know those aliens are actually demons? That's what they really are. They're demonic spirits. That's why the Bible says that Satan is able to transform into light. The fallen angels, that's what they did. When they came, they were able to transform themselves from an angelic look to a what? To a human look. They're able to bend light. Brothers and sisters, we're about to close out. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. There's a lot that we got to discuss. I know I didn't get to get into Babylon. I'm going to talk about Babylon tomorrow. We see these things going on. We talked about the woman that lost her life down in Houston. We know that these women are escorts and things like that. Pray for the people. Pray for the world. Our world is going through a lot of things that people don't want to talk about. This stuff is set up by the satanic world. This stuff is not new. They were doing these human sacrifices back since Nimrod. When Nimrod and his father set up Babylon almost 5,000 years ago. This stuff is not new. Amen. So we want to share these things. We want to shake the church and wake up the church. Family, I got to get ready to go. Amen. It's almost on with the brothers calling me. Amen. I'm going to speak with him shortly here in a minute. Amen. I guess we lost him on the air. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. We'll get to talk about some things as far as Babylon. But we're going to get deeper into it. So remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. I love you all. We'll be back on the air at 4 p.m. Central Time tomorrow, 5 o'clock East Coast time. and I think we're on the air at 2 p.m. Pacific time. We'll be back on the air tomorrow to be able to listen. We thank all of our listeners. We thank Derek Oliver and the Chaos Radio team for allowing us this platform to reach as many souls. We're trying to save as many souls to get into the kingdom before Christ returns. So remember, family, again, I love you, and you all have a blessed and wonderful evening. You have a good night. Take care.